ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to the Driveway Liberty Podcast. The only podcast recorded live in a windy-ass driveway.
Gale force winds.
All right. So, hey, guys. It's your Uncle Wes here on the Driveway Liberty Podcast with my good buddy, Dan Matichero. And it is windy today, so you'll probably hear that over the mics. But you know what? That's just more proof that we're in the driveway. This is our special State of the Onion cast here. I've got two things I want to mention before we get knee-deep in this. The Democrat Party showing their true colors last night. All of the ladies wore Klan uniforms.
Yeah.
They were all in white.
I saw that.
All they lacked was the hood, but that was only because they don't allow them to wear hats in the Capitol.
Yeah, they said they were wearing white to unify behind reproductive rights.
Let's not call it that because that's not what it is.
Well, no, I'm not calling it that. I'm just saying what they said.
Yeah, well, red would probably be more applicable.
I was thinking
applicable.
The same thing, but they're not going to wear red. I mean,
no.
Be a sign of solidarity.
They're all about symbolism and changing verbiage is what they're all about. And that's, I was sitting there watching it. I didn't get to watch it last night. We had a little date night thing where we went to play trivia with some friends that invited us to go, and so I watched it today while I was working, and I was like, why the fuck are they yelling wearing white? I mean, the Democrat Party, the founding party of the Ku Klux Klan,
mm-hmm.
the actual party of racism, if we're being honest,
historically accurate,
the party that fought desegregation, the party that took a stand against the freeing of the slaves.
Yes.
The party that has lynched and hung African Americans.
Yep.
Yeah, this ain't working real good. the party that that is known for racism, but has successfully turned the tables to try to make Republicans seem racist, when they are actually the modern-day slave plantation owners. And that's what's up, if you know. So I wanted to give my impression of the State of the Union address last night, if you don't mind,
yes.
I can have a little leeway.
You have plenty of leeway.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the State of the Union. I am your president, Wes Herndon. I have magically cured cancer. Thank you. I have found the last unicorn and successfully cloned it. So now we have unicorns walking on the planet.
Woohoo!
Everybody's going to get a pot of gold.
Four more years.
I have the longest penis on the planet. So all of those are lies. And that's what that dude did last night when he wasn't taking credit for something. He was just straight out lying.
Yes.
I'm just sitting there like they're clapping and he's saying all this stuff and he's doubling down on Obamacare, talking about, well, the average family's paying $400 a month. Man, my wife has our insurance through work and she's paying, $1,800 a month comes out of her paycheck.
Yeah.
For her health.
No, $400 a month.
You know what that same health, actually better health insurance cost before Obamacare was about $400 a month.
You know where he gets that 400 number?
No.
The millions that are paying zero.
Yeah.
Takes that number that we're paying.
And averages it out.
Averages down to $400. It's the mongoloid math. That's my new word, mongoloid math.
Yeah. Not only that, but he's saying that we're having a booming economy, that everything is going swell. He broke a record adding jobs.
Which is the biggest.
It's the biggest crock of shit
ever.
Inflation is going down. Unemployment's down from 9%. He's bragging that it's down from 9%. It was 2.5% before he took office. So
it's unreal. All right, so let me ask you this question, Wes. Last night, who was he talking to?
his to idiots.
He was talking to his base.
Yeah, well, same thing.
Yes, but he wasn't talking to the American people.
No.
He was talking to his base. It was basically a campaign rally.
Yep.
And I don't know how many people watched it.
I don't know.
I don't know anybody personally who watched it. I was at my daughter's softball game last night, but I didn't watch it. When I got home, I saw the last like 20 minutes of it.
Right.
So I watched. And then I stayed up until close to 11 o'clock our time, which was midnight their time.
Yeah.
Listening to Tucker Carlson's. Ooh, that's mine. Sorry, that's spam. Got spam calls. People want me to take surveys on the election.
Yep.
But I listened to Tucker Carlson, his comments afterwards, and he had Alex Jones on his show, which was pretty interesting. And they went until, you know, like, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes to 11. And you know how many people watched his? He did it on X. You know how many people watched it?
No, I don't know.
1.9 million. Watched Tucker Carlson last night at
midnight.
Yeah, close to midnight Eastern time.
Nice.
So it was interesting. So he was speaking to his base.
Right.
And if you look at it that way, two things. Now, first of all, the problem that I have with our party is they've set such a low bar for Joe Biden. All he has to do is talk for an hour without falling over, and you give them a win.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's like Sleepy Joe, Adderall, all this stuff,
right?
Which may or may not be true, but When whatever they do to get him alive and going, or if he just slept for 4 days straight before this and he just woke up and this is his 2 hours where he's actually awake.
Right.
Whichever way you get there, when your biggest negative thing you say about it, and every fucking commentator on the right says this shit. And we've said it too, so it's not like
it's not rocket. I mean, yeah, it's
but
not,
that Joe Biden is incompetent, he's unfit, he's mentally can't handle it, and then he comes out for 2 hours in front of the nation, and he did his gibberish like he always does,
right?
But he was coherent, and damn it, at the end he was pissed off. He spent an hour. He spent 68 minutes yelling at the country.
Mm-hmm.
Really yelling at Republicans.
Yeah.
His whole speech was, and I looked at Twitter on all of the left idiots.
Yeah.
And they're all like, he really stuck it to the Republicans. Yeah, he was Dark Brandon, all this shit. And it's like, so.
Dark Brandon.
So we've the Republicans have given him an easy win. In that regard.
Well, I mean, but really, I mean, there's no, it's a bully pulpit when you're getting up to do this.
No, thing. I understand.
You get up there and you sing your own praises. And what this has done more than that, as far as the base goes, is it's given all of these media organizations, the mainstream media, sound bites to help with the campaign.
Oh, yeah. Because he literally, the mainstream media, most of the network news, including the cable networks, are going to be running his campaign.
Exactly.
And for the next,
that's his default, de facto marketing organization is what that is.
Yep.
And that's why if you still trust those organizations and watch those organizations, and I'm including Fox in that.
Yeah.
Any of those organizations, you are falling prey to the propaganda machine.
You're contributing to the delinquency of America.
Well, that's a good way to put it. Definitely a good way to put it.
As you go through it, like, first of all, Biden didn't mention Trump's name once. Never mentioned.
He said my opponent.
My predecessor.
Yep.
It was what he used most. Yep. So whoever's writing his stuff is capitalizing, I think, as much as they can on the current situation.
Wait. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Dan, but I think it's important that we take a moment because we didn't do it on January 6th and recognize the most catastrophic event that ever happened on U.S. soil. I can't believe he even fucking said that. I mean, it's like, well, it's the most catastrophic event that ever happened on U.S. soil. I mean, I'm paraphrasing.
Again,
that's not exactly what he said.
Again, but if you look at what he's doing, he's speaking to his base.
Sure.
And his base believes that.
Or the people who are apathetic that just grab their news bites and go. And they just assume that what he's saying is an accurate depiction of what actually happened.
I hope there is not people out there in America who are actually voters that are unaware of January 6th.
Yeah.
I really hope so. And I hope they're not getting their impression of January 6th based on
I'm sure they're aware of January 6th, but their opinion of January 6th may be flawed is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah,
if you're tainted by the narrative.
If you're watching the videos that were on the news and you listen, if you paid attention, not even paid attention, but just caught sound bites of the whole January 6th committee, and then you roll into last night's speech and that's the only information you get, then yeah, you have a very lazy and not only incomplete, but literally reverse view of what happened on January 6th.
Yeah.
So if there's people out there that are voting, and I hate to say it, there are people out there
are a lot
voting
of them.
That are not engaged enough to actually go look into the most catastrophic thing that happened to our country since, like, ever.
Yeah.
And you just go by what CNN or MSNBC or ABC News tells you, and then you hear what Biden said last night as, well, they said it on CNN, they said it on ABC News, Biden said it last night, it must be true. If that's your brain, if that's how you look at the political process, do not fucking vote.
Dude, that's one of the things, I'm a member of a certain committee, the Republican Executive Committee. And one of the activities, the big activities, is going out and registering people to vote. Well, when you go register somebody to vote, you can't say, are you a Democrat or a Republican? And then if they say they're a Democrat, we'll say, well, I can't register you. Because then that's ballot stuff and it's illegal. Mm-hmm. And I just tell it, they're like, hey, are you going to come help volunteer and register people to vote? I'm like, hell no. I don't think everybody should be voting. I think you should literally have to pass a civics and citizenship test to vote.
Yeah,
you should have some knowledge about how this country was founded, how it's supposed to work, how policies determined, how, you know, bills are passed. And I don't mean just singing the old school of rock, or what was it? He sang like that.
I know what you're talking about.
I'm just a bill, you know. I mean that tells you how it's made, but it didn't talk about committees and how it's got to get out of committee and how lobbyists work.
That's a very elementary, and that's who it's meant for, audience on the way bills are made. But yeah, so
definitely an oversimplified.
If you're in that camp, you're probably not listening to our show.
Probably not.
Oh, so I've got some sound bites because we need sound bites.
Yeah, we always need sound bites.
All right, so I wanna play this first one for you because it's very exciting.
Lay it on me, Dan.
As soon as I can pull it up here.
American people, when America gets knocked down, we get back up. We keep going. That's America.
That's America.
That's you, the American people. It's because of you America's coming back. It's because of you our future is brighter. It's because of you that tonight we can proudly say The state of our union is strong and getting stronger.
I agreed with him up until the last part.
Yeah.
The people are responsible. I mean, that's what drives the economy. I mean, he doesn't really believe that.
No, this is just yelling at the microphone.
But it's and the State of the Union is not strong. Have you bought bread?
It's as bad as it's been maybe in our lifetime.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make an argument that during the Jimmy Carter days, the economy was worse.
I mean, we're not standing in line for ration gas, but I think all in all, everything else combined with the economy and is absolutely horrendous.
Yeah, and the devalue of the dollar, shrinkflation, you add it all up, and yeah, we are not in a good place.
Right? You're absolutely not in a good place.
No. All right, there's more to this video.
Okay,
stop
all right.
Because it's and if you watched, I challenged everybody prior to the State of the Union to watch our Speaker of the House.
Oh, Mike the faces Johnson, he's making.
To watch him and his reaction. So there's some good things that came from his reaction where he, I think it may be even in this, he may have rolled his eyes.
Yeah.
Kind of, you got to be fucking kidding me kind of response.
Yep.
But when he talked about Ukraine and funding Ukraine, and I have a video, it's a soundbite for that too.
Right.
But our speaker clapped.
Yeah, I saw that.
And nodded his head and clapped.
I saw that.
All right, so let's finish this one. Strong and getting stronger. Listen to this shit. Barking seals. Barking seals. Barking seals.
Tonight, I want to talk about the future of possibilities.
That not we can the build future together. Of possibilities.
A future.
But stop
the
that for just a fucking minute.
Economics are over.
The future of possibilities. The entire future is nothing more than a possibility. That is literally the dumbest shit that I've ever heard anybody try to make sound intelligent.
Who's he talking to, Wes?
I know who he's talking
Who's
to.
Who's he talking
I
to?
I know who he's talking
you
to.
You got to dumb it down for those people.
The future of possibilities.
And people on Twitter are like, this guy's great. Yeah, he's so great. How the fuck do we have people in our country that think that? How is that possible?
Man, I don't know, dude.
All right, we're going to keep going.
All right, that's a good idea.
No longer get all the tax breaks. And by the way, I understand corporations. I come from a state that has more corporations invested than every one of your states in the state of the United States combined.
That's probably the only accurate statement he's made.
If you say that per... So Delaware has the most corporations?
A lot of companies, regardless of their location, will register in Delaware as a because it's a lot easier now. But in the past, it was just super easy to register in Delaware, and you could do it anonymously. You didn't even have to put your personal name on it.
Those corporations are not working out of Delaware. They're just registered in Delaware.
Like ESPN. Yeah. They work out of the Carolinas, but they're registered in Delaware. Yeah. Or were until Disney took them over.
They were in Bristol, right? In Connecticut.
Yeah.
At one point, I don't know if they still are.
There were a lot of companies. Matter of fact, my first LLC, I almost registered in Delaware just because it was relatively inexpensive and super easy. Mm-hmm. So that's I can see that it was either Delaware or Nevada.
But in the context of what he's saying,
he's trying to make it sound like he knows
he's
business.
He's saying that I am not anti-corporate because I come from a state that has more corporations than any other state combined, all the other states combined.
Yeah.
Which may be factual.
But that doesn't make him pro-corporate.
It literally doesn't make his argument.
No.
Because to my point is you may be registered in Delaware, but your corporation is not doing business in Delaware.
That's like somebody saying...
Your corporate office isn't... They don't have giant fucking buildings.
No, they don't.
For corporate...
Fucking Delaware is about as big as...
Our neighborhood.
It's not very
big.
It's not big.
No, I know that.
And that, but it's...
It's the twisting of the words. It's the...
It is.
It's the loose...
But who's he talking to, Dan?
Thank you, Wes. Yeah, right. You're listening. You're paying attention. I like it.
And I represented for 36 years. I'm not anti-corporation, but I grew up in a home where trickle-down economics didn't put much on my dad's kitchen table. That's why I determined to turn
all right, what did his dad do for
well.
A living?
When they do well...
Biden is not like Steve Martin from The Jerk. He wasn't born a poor black child. Biden's family's always had money. They haven't been super rich until he became a senator at 29.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden they found money. Now the whole family's like international businessmen.
Yep. Oh, yeah, they're killing it.
Yeah, they're killing it.
And they've probably registered their corporation in Delaware.
Yeah, and they're heavily invested in China.
Yeah.
And China's heavily invested in
Ukraine.
Yeah, in Ukraine. So let me see what's left on this.
Poor of a way up, and the wealthy still do very well. We all do well. And there's more to do to make sure you're feeling the benefits of all we're doing. I say to the American people...
There's more to do to make sure you feel the benefits of all that we're doing. Like, literally, all that you're doing is taking money out of our pocket.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
You're making it very difficult for us to shop at the grocery store every week.
Yep.
And people, the issue with people who believe the bullshit coming out of his mouth is they, what?
All right, go ahead and finish your statement.
They don't understand the things that are built into the cost of the products that you go to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like Biden went to the egg farmers and said, here, I'm going to regulate you so your eggs are more expensive, even though that has happened.
Right.
His policies aren't directed at the core.
They're directed at
energy.
Increasing costs.
They're directed
for all businesses.
At energy. And when you change energy policies and make energy, fuel.
Yes.
Electricity.
All of that.
When you make that more expensive, that makes everything else
more expensive. You're talking about trickle down is what, yeah.
Yeah,
that's exactly what his
trickle down is, hey, let's make everything more expensive by trickling up from the base of what is the initial cost of everything.
Right.
Is the energy it costs to get it to you or to the stores or wherever. You make that more expensive, and that's what's making the prices of everything go up.
So I want to say this. Number one, Biden was an adult during the Reagan years, so trickle-down economics, which was the theory during the Reagan's. Biden was in fucking Congress at that point.
Yeah, and in reality, there is no economic...
I got a couple of more points right here. Let me get them out, because I know you like to talk a lot.
So fucking pot calling the kettle black right there.
So, number one, that whole analogy about my dad, crumbs and shit on his table, he was an adult out of the house. Number two, and I'm going to read this right now because I have a feeling it will be changed. On Wikipedia, if you go and look up Joe Biden, mm-hmm. and you look at his early life, it says Biden's father led an affluent lifestyle as a young adult selling yachts off the New England coast, riding to the hounds, driving fast cars, flying airplanes, while working as an executive for and experiencing the largesse of the Sheen Company. The Sheen Company was founded and owned by Bill Sheen, Biden's paternal great uncle. So they're all about keeping family business going on.
Oh, it started way back. So dad sold yachts.
No, he sailed yachts. Dad worked for his uncle or Biden's paternal uncle. So that would be his... Biden's dad worked for his brother, who had invented a material that he was then manufacturing that was lining for cemetery vaults. So it doesn't say exactly what Biden's dad did.
But he was an executive.
He was an executive. So they ain't starved.
No, they're the whole trickle down, like everything about his upbringing is a lie. It's a complete facade. He, you know, the whole lunch pail Joe, working class Joe, none of that is true. He's been in government his whole life.
Yeah. Well, and in Biden's dad's defense, after the war, I'm assuming World War II, the business failed, and Biden Sr. and his brother tried to start another business together that faltered. So, but all of this was going on while Ronald Reagan was still an actor. And maybe before Ronald Reagan was an actor.
So that there was no such thing as the fake trickle-down economics theory.
No, absolutely not. And that a lot of that would probably be part and parcel of the after effects of the Great Depression.
Yeah, you got to remember how old the
which guy. FDR presided over, and World War II, which FDR and Truman presided over. So
a lot of Democrats in that mix.
Mm-hmm. A lot of Democrats in that mix.
Yeah, but they're the party that's going to save us all.
Yeah, man. You didn't know?
I did.
A woman's reproductive rights.
Oh, wait. We're not there yet.
Okay, sorry.
All right. You ready?
I'm ready, buddy.
Video number two.
Awesome.
My message to President Putin, who I've known for a long time, is simple. We will not walk away.
Clap and seal our Speaker of the House back there.
We will not bow down.
Nodding his head and clapping. The entire fucking caucus is standing up.
I will not bow down.
What are you going to do, Joe?
In a little
he won't
sense,
bow down.
History is watching.
History's watching.
My message is
history is watching.
In a literal sense.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I don't understand.
I made a mistake early on in this. What? When I said the people who wrote his speech did a good job.
Well, the future of possibilities and the history is watching. The fuck does that mean?
I don't know, but... Are you going to sit here and tell me we're not at war with Russia?
Mm-mm. I'm not, but he is. He's going to tell you that. No, we're not at war with them. We are going to just provide weapons and finances to their enemy.
Yeah, but at the same time, he'll tell you we're not at war with Russia, but he'll say this at the State of the Union.
Yeah, definitely sounds like
it's
war.
Like Putin,
warmonger.
I'm not going to back down.
Yeah,
we're going to stop you. We're not going to let you run roughshod over Eastern Europe.
Right.
It's like, but we're not at war with
But history's
Russia.
Watching, Dan. History is watching.
It is. It is. And it's we're all looking, watching.
It's looking from the past, throughout the annals and the tomes of written history. It's watching. God, man, Jesus.
And watching this clip, the other part, and I said it while it was going on, but... Our Speaker of the House, who's supposed to be better than McCarthy,
is not much.
He's not better. He's the same person. Mm. He's back there with a stern look on his face and nodding his head, clapping, affirming the bullshit that's coming out of Biden's mouth. We're at war with Ukraine.
Yeah.
Or with Russia.
That's true.
And, apparently, we're gonna spend as much money possible
because history is watching.
Yep, history is watching.
History's watching.
Let me see here.
I think I know what he meant. He's trying to say by saying that is that the future is going to measure what we do in these times. See, that would be a much better way to say that. Had I been his speechwriter.
Yes.
Future generations are going to look back on us and judge us by the decisions we make today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I were communicating with the future, I would tell them.
Well,
history's watching.
A political hot button, soundbite is – history will judge us.
Well, yes. Yeah. We will be judged by the history. By the future.
Yeah. So I wonder if that's how they wrote it or whatever, but and he scrambled it up, or maybe they're just bad at what they do.
They are.
Okay, so this one I want to play. This is where he's talking about the border.
Yeah, let's hear it. I enjoy being mad twice.
In November, my team began serious negotiation with a bipartisan group of senators. The result was a bipartisan bill with the toughest set of border security reforms we've ever seen.
What?
Oh, you don't think so?
No.
Oh, you don't like that bill, huh? That conservatives got together and said it was a good bill? I'll be darned. That's amazing. That bipartisan bill would hire 1,500 more security agents and officers, 100 more immigration judges to help tackle the backload of 2 million cases, 4,300 more asylum officers, and new policies so they can resolve cases in 6 months instead of 6 years now.
So you got a Republican senator nodding his head.
What are you against?
Which one? McConnell? He doesn't know where he's at?
No.
Oh.
In November.
Hold on.
My team.
Okay. So, Lankford, Senator Lankford, who was apparently a part of that, quote, bipartisan group.
Right.
Was nodding his head as Biden was making his point. So, let's talk about the...
We need to take a break, buddy, if we're going to do a full cast here. We're already 32 minutes in.
God damn it.
Yeah, right. But history's watching.
All right, when we come back from break...
We'll come back with some future possibilities.
No, we're going to break down that border bill that Biden is so angry about the Republicans. And it's fucking right.
Yeah, we definitely need to do that.
All right, we'll be right back.
All right, we'll be right back, like Dan said.
Hey guys, Uncle Wes here. Remember how we're always talking about how we wish we had access to an alternative marketplace for conservatives and get away from this woke culture? Well, guess what? We found one. MammothNation.com. You can buy jewelry, eyewear, stuff for your pets, sauces, spices, coffees, vodka, wine. Just about anything you want, you can get at MammothNation.com. And guess what? If you use promo code Driveway Liberty Media when you sign up, you can get 30% off your first year. Go check them out. MammothNation.com, promo code Driveway Liberty Media.
All right, guys, welcome back. It is time for Beer Reviews.
Backstreet Beer Review.
Inside joke.
Hey, guys, it is time for Beer Reviews, and I think Dan and I are drinking the same thing, so we'll make it short and sweet. We have reviewed the beer before. Dan, what you got?
So here's the quote on it. It says, eat steak, lift weights, be uncensorable, drink a little beer.
Well, we do the eat steak and drink a lot of beer.
And we're very uncensorable.
We are very uncensorable.
Although they do try.
Yes.
And they're going to pay for that trying. So this is, we're drinking the ultra-right beer.
Ultra-right.
Yeah, conservative dad's ultra-right beer. And Mary, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mary, for donating a case of this to the podcast. We will probably be reviewing this several times over the next couple of weeks because we are, it's sitting, well, Dan's son's coming in town. He may.
Well, here's the thing. My wife did a Walmart order.
Okay.
Because we got that Walmart Plus stuff where they deliver it to your house.
Right.
And she texted me and said, I ordered beer for the first time on the Walmart order.
Oh.
And that's, she's not going to buy me beer.
Oh, okay.
So she's like, I don't know what you're going to need when they come. They'll probably card me and take a picture of the ID.
Yeah, they will. They'll do that. But, you know, your boy's in college. He's on spring break. So, yeah.
He'll drink his Natty Light or whatever.
Mom misses him. Getting him some Nasty Light.
More than likely.
There you go. So that's your beer reviews.
Beer reviews.
future possibilities.
All right, guys. All right, so before the break, we were about to get into this bill that Biden referenced in the State of the Union last night.
Yeah, so in the State of the Union, he was basically...
He's saying, there's a bill, you just need to vote on it and send it to my desk, I'll sign it, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, but what he's saying is, the border is not secure because you Republicans won't sign the bipartisan uniparty, it's not bipartisan, it's uniparty. Border bill.
Right.
Poor Wes's mic stand is not cooperating. So we got new mic stands and they clamp onto the table. And there's like an edge to this table. And the clamp isn't like wide enough to get behind the edge. So you got to, oh, and mine just came over.
Oh, boy.
Are we going to have to pause this and come back and you can do your editing magic?
No, I'm good right now.
Oh, well, mine just fell on my
All right, well, you go ahead. I'm going to mute you and fix it, and that'll give me a chance to actually say something during a podcast. So, what Dan was referring to is a regular political trick that the left uses. They'll say, well, there's a bill out there. It's a bipartisan bill. Which bipartisan means all the Democrats and one Republican who's in a liberal state, so he's trying to appease his liberal base so he can get reelected. But the bill may be titled something really pretty and nice. I mean, we've already established that they're great at branding. So they you know.
The issue is... They call it a bipartisan bill because Mitch McConnell and a couple of other Rhino senators got involved in it. But here's what's in the bill. So in the bill, it gives Secretary Mayorkas, the guy who, like, they're trying to impeach,
right,
for his issues at the border.
Yeah.
It gives him the right, for the first time ever, to grant asylum claims, which means American citizenship, to illegal aliens at the border without review by immigration courts. So they want to speed up people coming in, so they're just going to bypass the courts. And they're giving the guy they're trying to impeach for violating our border the right to give rubber stamp and amnesty. That's in the bill.
Right.
The bill codifies catch and release under the so-called alternatives to detention for any alien who says they intend to apply for asylum or another protection. So all you got to do now, this shit comes with instructions. So the coyotes bring their people over, and all they have to do is say to the person who grabs them or who they walk up to if you're in a port or an area that's manned, saying that I intend to apply for asylum. And that basically gives you free release into the country. That's another part of this bill. The bill gives immediate work permits to everyone who says they want asylum, as long as they pass an initial screening by liberal Democrats.
Of course it does.
This is going to be another huge magnet to continue this giant surge at the border, because you're going to get green cards.
All it does is it creates a cleaner avenue for them to be able to do this.
Yeah, so they
it's
can,
like,
so they
I'm
can
seek an asylum.
So they don't have to call them illegal,
right?
Because now they'll be legal. It doesn't deter anybody from coming through. It just makes them, quote, legal. So we're going to give them green cards now.
Yeah,
and give them work visas.
There you go.
So the bill grants 50,000 extra green cards per year, for no apparent reason. And entirely unrelated to border security. So this is the securest border bill in the history of the United States, remember?
Yeah.
The bill also guarantees new government-funded lawyers for illegals.
Oh.
So now us taxpayers are going to pay
for
the asylum seekers' legal bills. And I wonder what that legal... Are we going to cover defense attorneys for the ones that kill joggers
that's
in Georgia?
That's what it's looking like.
The bill doesn't limit Biden and Mayorkas' abuse of immigration parole, allowing them to continue abusing parole and issuing work permits to any illegal alien who they claim as an urgent humanitarian reason to stay. The bill would also send billions of dollars of non-military humanitarian aid to Gaza and elsewhere without adequate safeguards.
That's related to our fucking border, isn't it?
Yeah. That would, without adequate safeguards, that it won't be used for anti-American purposes. So we know what happens when we send aid in to people in conflicts. This is history.
It ends up in the Biden's pockets somehow.
We send it to those people, and those regimes, the terrorists that are running the people of Gaza, are going to distribute it to the people. That always happens. We send money and supplies to Haiti, and they just hand it all out.
Every time.
You know, everywhere you go.
Every time.
Every time we send it.
Africa is no longer starving, is because we've sent that money over there, and the leaders have distributed it properly. They have not bought, you know, weapons to ensure that their tyranny can go. They haven't done any of that.
No. So here's another one. It includes 1.4 billion
with a B
for NGOs to resettle illegals in our communities via airplane tickets, hotel rooms.
We're in
including
the wrong business.
93 million available immediately without conditions.
Yeah, we are in the wrong business, Dan.
So we're gonna fund these quote non-GO non-government entities with government money.
Yeah.
Again, we had that argument on another fucking show.
Yeah, we did.
Like, they're non-government organizations, but we're going to give them money.
Right.
The government's giving them money.
Yes.
So they're
the government can claim that they're not resettling these individuals.
Yeah.
So what we
paying for it.
We need to file an NGO and file for funds and grants, and then we'll resettle these sumbitches outside of the country.
There you go.
Well, we're resettling them. We resettle them right back in Mexico and Guatemala and Gaza and China, because there's 20,000 of them sumbitches that have come across the border, Chinese nationals, in the last year. So, you know, yeah, we're resettling them right back where the fuck they came from.
So this actual provision would transfer the $1.4 billion to the Federal Emergency Management Agency federal assistance for supporting sheltering illegal immigrants provided by non-federal entities through the Shelter and Services Program.
It seems all logical to me, Dan.
The bill includes more than $60 billion in aid for Ukraine.
That is not nearly enough, apparently.
But apparently, we have to fund the Ukraine war in order to secure our border.
Yes.
Remember, this bill will secure our border more secure than it's ever been
before.
And the Republicans are bad people for not wanting this bill.
They are terrible.
Look at all the shit in this bill.
And the thing is you and I can sit here and talk about this on this podcast, but nobody else can get this word out to the mainstream media, because the narrative is going to be, well, these evil Republicans did that. We gave them opportunity to secure the border and they refused to.
Yeah, and that's why when you don't pay attention and you don't educate yourself, you fall for this shit. So there's more. So this bill is $118 billion.
Mm-hmm.
You know how much money actually goes to the border?
About $5.
So when I say the border, all that other stuff we talked about that doesn't really secure the border, but it just funds the illegals becoming legal.
So $50 is what I'm going to say. That's about
$20 billion of the $118 actually go to anything to do with the border.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You know what? Recall them all, Dan.
Yes.
Recall them all.
That's what Joe Biden was railing about last night.
Oh, he was,
basically saying, hey, we're going to fund, we're not going to slow down, we're not going to stop illegals from coming into the country. We're just going to pass a bill to make them legal on paper.
Yeah, that's it.
And then we're going to give Ukraine half the money in this bill. Half the money. More than half.
And then send a good chunk to the Gaza Strip.
Yes.
And
that's the secure border bill that he's railing about.
So real quick, not to change the subject, but it is about the State of the Onion. The takeaways, this is CNN's article. Takeaways from Joe Biden's State of the Union. Now, I'm not going to go through and read the entire article, but the first takeaway is Biden takes on Trump. Okay, he didn't even mention him. Biden delivers an unpredictable freewheeling speech. Freewheeling. That shit was planned. He's been rehearsing that shit for 30 days. Biden shows up energetic and forceful amid concerns over his age.
See, that's the easy.
Yeah. The president makes a strong case for American leadership abroad. Was it really that strong?
What's he talking about? American leadership abroad.
He's talking about in the Ukraine. I mean, all of the rhetoric that he spouted about not backing down to Putin and being strong. And all right, let me go on. The incumbent president takes a shot at reshaping and resetting the 2024 narrative. Now, they called him incumbent. Now, it's important to point out that he is actually the president right now. Mm-hmm. He is not the incumbent. The incumbent is somebody that's up for election. He's not... He's not the nominee yet, yeah. But they are calling him that. And that's CNN's big takeaways from the whole thing. There's some bullshit writing in between those little snippets.
That's pretty weak.
That's
the best you can come up with?
That's weak as puppy piss is what that is. That's how weak that is.
Biden was upright and didn't fall over during his speech.
One of the chicks on The View, which I'm really surprised, said Biden's biggest accomplishment during the speech is that he didn't die. So I don't know who this chick is, but and how she said that on The View.
And you'll never see her on The View again.
No, she's done. She's done. But I thought that was hilarious. I mean, and that's really, if we're thinking about it, his best accomplishment to date is the fact that he ain't dead yet.
So let's talk about this. So Florida Rep. Brian Mast brought a special guest with him to the State of the Union address.
Oh, snap, yeah.
And that person's name is Steve Nakui.
Yeah.
And Steve's son was killed. He was one of the Marines that
killed in Afghanistan.
The 13 Marines that was killed when we were exiting Afghanistan. So when during Biden's speech, and I don't remember which portion of it, this poor grieving father stood up and was letting Biden know that he didn't appreciate him not acknowledging the death of those Marines,
right,
during the withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Yep.
And you know what they did?
They arrested him. Yeah.
Put him in handcuffs and walked him out. Well, they walked him out first. And then when he was out in the lobby, they put him in handcuffs.
Yeah.
And took him away.
Sounds like a
That's Biden's America. That's
situation.
Biden's America.
Yeah, that is
How
absolutely.
The fuck do you get arrested? When you
Speaking
are legally
at the
there,
people's
like,
house.
It's not like he trespassed. He's right? at this people's house. He's a guest of an elected member of Congress.
Charged him with misdemeanor protest.
But what happened to all the people who were wearing the red dresses that went into the Supreme Court or the
Roe v. Wade?
No. Oh. What's his face? Kavanaugh.
Hearings.
Yep.
Yeah.
What happened to those people who were screaming in up in the balcony wearing the red dresses?
I'll tell you. You ready?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yes.
Nothing happened.
Nothing. But this guy whose son died serving his country and died because the commander-in-chief did a shitty job in getting out of Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And he protested that and they arrested him.
Oh, yeah. You know why? Because history's watching.
It's fucking this shit makes me
history is watching puke. No, it's absolutely ridiculous, man. This dude lost his son, but directly based on the actions of this president, and then didn't say shit about it. This guy had every right to be angry. And man, it's a kick in the nuts to arrest him after his son died in Afghanistan, and you didn't say shit.
Well, you can't interrupt the dictator, man.
Oh, yeah, right.
But Trump's the dictator. Speaking of Trump.
Yeah.
Trump had some things to say on Truth Social during the State of the Union.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one, I guess it's called a truth on Truth Social. Call it a tweet, call it a post, whatever you want. And here it is. I quote, "The pandemic no longer controls our lives. The vaccines that saved us from COVID are now being used to help beat cancer, turning setback into comeback. You're welcome, Joe. 9-month approval time versus 12 years that it would have taken with you."
Now, that is a quote that from Biden's speech, though. Does he have it in quotes? Because Biden said that in his speech last night. He said that the vaccine was curing cancer. Now, we'll get into Trump and his...
Yes, it's in quotes.
Okay.
Turning a setback into a comeback. So that was Biden's quote.
And I have not seen any data where those vaccines are curing any cancers.
They're causing cancer.
Yeah. They're killing people.
So...
the data shows that.
He put... The first part was Biden's quote.
Yeah.
And then in all caps, he writes, "You're welcome, Joe. 9-month approval time versus 12 years that it would have taken you." So,
the fact that Trump is doubling down on how the vaccine being a good thing.
This is the shit that makes me nuts. I mean, how do you, literally the only thing that is keeping Trump from winning in a landslide is fucking admitting he was wrong and assuring us that he would handle things differently.
Yeah.
I think people would quickly move past, okay, you fucked up. It was a unique time in history. You fucked up. You trusted people you shouldn't have trusted. Now assure us that you understand that was a mistake and you're never going to do that again. You learned from the major fuck up you had that cost you the re-election.
Right.
Your actual handling of COVID, either A, so if you believe that the election is legit and Joe Biden won, he won because of the way Trump handled COVID.
Yeah.
Number two, if you believe the election was stolen, it was able to be stolen because of the way Trump handled COVID.
Right.
It opened up all the laws to be changed where 43% of the ballots were mail-in. 43%. You saw the documentary from Dinesh D'Souza.
Yeah.
The mules, how many mules? 200 mules.
Yeah.
Where they're just dumping stuff in the ballot box. Your eyes didn't deceive you when you saw them put paper up on the windows as they were counting votes at 3:00 in the morning in Fulton County. Like, your eyes didn't deceive you when they kicked people out of the polling booth, and then all of a sudden overnight Trump went from a landslide win to getting his ass handed to him after they closed the doors and kicked everybody out.
Yeah.
Like, your eyes didn't deceive you. All that shit happened. But let's just say it's all legit.
Right.
It's Trump's policies during that time, his handling of COVID, that allowed that to happen. And now, instead of Trump capitalizing on that, this quote would have been a good capitalization for him to say, listen, the vaccine was a mistake. I shouldn't have pushed it forward. I trusted people I shouldn't have trusted.
Yeah.
We need to really look at it because it may actually be harming people.
Yeah.
Imagine if he said that. Just imagine if he said that. Didn't admit that
he
killed
up.
People.
He trusted.
Just admitted that he
advice.
Trusted people. And if he just did that.
But he can't.
No.
His personality will never allow him to admit he is wrong.
And that's
my biggest problem with him. Look, I'm not saying RFK Jr. is an answer, because everybody's saying he's backed off his Second Amendment stance, but he hasn't.
No, he hasn't. He has not. And that's the problem with him. among other things. He's a liberal. He's not a leftist. He's a liberal.
Right.
But he's got some policies in there that they're fucking deal breakers for me.
Yeah.
And the Second Amendment is one of them.
Yeah.
Just because somebody is dead on right about one issue doesn't mean they're the answer. So his being the antithesis of what Trump did and is continuing to double down on doesn't mean he's the right guy.
No, it doesn't. But it's getting him some support.
Absolutely.
I have I won't say how they're my clients. It's in one of my multiple businesses who are RFK Jr. supporters solely because of his stance on the vaccine. Solely because of his stance on COVID policies.
And that's another scary part about our electorate is we have so many one-issue voters.
These single-issue voters.
That literally fuck up.
Like selling your soul, in essence, is what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Instead of looking at the body of the work and the potential hazards that can come from voting for a candidate, you are selling your soul for one single issue.
Yeah, because apparently you may believe, and it's very short-sighted of you to believe this, that that's the only thing that's going to impact you. And in reality,
no, if you're passionate about it, and
sure,
you know, I look at, all right, my big issues are Second Amendment. I mean, that's like my biggest.
That's got to be
a big one. If you're not a Second Amendment supporter, I will not support you.
But look at Trump's record on the Second Amendment.
Right, and that's why I didn't vote for
good.
It. That's exactly why I didn't vote. That's why
good.
I voted Libertarian.
Take
both
the
cycles.
Guns. We'll worry about due process later.
Yeah. That and the fact that he's waffled on that when he thought he was losing votes, he changed.
But when he said that was during the Vegas shooting.
Sure.
So this is the problem you have with these idols that people create is when they're up against it. So this was a situation where he was commander in chief.
Yeah.
And you supposedly had some guy in a hotel room shooting a bunch of conservatives.
Yeah.
So he had to say something. So he felt it was right to say.
He said, look, this individual's responsible for their actions. We're going to put the entire weight we're going to encourage law enforcement. We'll give them whatever federal resources they may need. And we are going to figure out, we're going to find this guy. And we're going to bring him to justice. That's what you say.
Yeah.
Because that guy committed murder. He shot and hurt people. He broke into that hotel or whatever. Whatever law
believe, if you believe the narrative.
But all of the shit that was done was illegal.
Yes,
already.
There's already laws in place.
Sorry, murder can't be any more illegal.
And then he believed the narrative of the bump stock situation, which allowed this guy to, if you believe the narrative, you allowed this guy to shoot more people than you would have if you had a semi-automatic. Well, the reality of it is,
I could take a revolver and shoot.
But this fucking guy, I believe there was an automatic weapon up there.
Yeah.
And so as a result of that, you got Trump actually stating that take the guns, we'll worry about due process later. So without due process, you're going to assume someone's a criminal. Well, they're doing that to him right now.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like it. But when you're in the middle of a crisis and 54 concert goers that are conservative, you assume, because they're at a country concert, which I wouldn't assume that.
No, I wouldn't assume that, especially in
Vegas.
But
they did at the time. But immediate reaction is, fuck the Second Amendment.
Yeah. And that's the wrong way to go with that. Absolute wrong.
There's no perfect human, there's no perfect candidate, but some of the red flags that are there, like Biden's 100% red flag.
Yeah.
So he's out of the conversation. So if there's some people out there thinking, oh my God, Dan, are you saying to vote for Biden? No, I'm not fucking saying that at all.
Right.
But I'm damn fucking sick and tired of having to choose between bad choices.
Yeah.
There's no good choices ever in any fucking election we have.
No, the lesser of two evil is still fucking evil.
Yeah, and a lot of times we're fooled into believing that evil, that bad part, isn't going to affect us.
Right.
And in reality, it does. And the other side uses it as ammo too.
Sure. But in essence, what we're doing is we're selling our souls for a golden fiddle, so to speak. A promise of something, or because one individual says they're going to do something. And I'm not saying don't vote for Trump. I'm not saying that. Because in all reality, what other fucking choice do we have? I don't even know who the Libertarian candidate is this time.
I don't know. I got in a debate. Argument, call it whatever you want to, on a post that I made on Facebook in which I said we need lesser government. If we get government out of our day-to-day lives and just have them take care of the things that we can't take care of ourselves,
right,
the things they're supposed to take care of, defend our rights, defend our country, etc., if they weren't involved in all of this other shit, we wouldn't have to worry about choosing this candidate.
Right.
So the pushback on that was, we have to get better candidates first because small government's just a pipe dream, which is probably true.
It may be true, but why? Look, I think I've mentioned it before on this podcast. If a dude who's shoulders are narrower than his hips can wax a car and know fucking karate and win a karate tournament, we can do anything in this world. And yes, it looks like it's one hell of a steep climb to get to smaller government. But if that's our main objective and our goal,
everything else should be driving towards that.
Everything else should be driving that. Look, I used to teach goal setting to sales management, to sales managers, and the first thing I would have everybody do is like, what do you want? What's the wildest thing you could dream of ever having? Well, I want a 4,000 square foot house, or I want to retire in the islands, or whatever. I said, okay, cool. Now let's work back from that, and let's determine what you need to do to get that. And some of it was simple stuff. All right, well, in 5 years, where do you need to be to that objective? What's a realistic time frame for that? And then you just slowly work it back to what you need to do on the daily basis. Because little things done consistently over time turn into huge things. And that was always the message of my goal setting classes when I taught them. And the way you do that, if you want smaller government, you work back from that goal in every decision you make, as far as who you elect, who you put up for elections, the candidates you choose or try to find.
The referendums you vote for,
the spending that you're okay with.
Your attendance at local meetings.
Yeah, if you have that as your big picture, that is your bellwether. That is what you make every electoral decision on. Whether you are the candidate or an elected official, or you are somebody electing those individuals. Yeah. If you, and a lot of people think I'm weird. They think I'm an extremist. But I want this smaller government. So every action I take, from voting to who I support to the actions and words I speak on this podcast, are through that lens. Mm-hmm. That's my ultimate objective. Now, I may never achieve that objective, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to work towards it every day.
How do you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time.
Yeah.
Little things done consistently over time
exactly. Turn
into huge things.
Exactly.
And that's exactly how you reach those objectives. And for somebody to say that's a pipe dream, that's unicorn and rainbows, well, I would say you're myopic and your vision isn't strong enough for you to actually achieve great things in this life.
And
regardless of what it is.
And the rebuttal was, we have to get the right candidates first.
Sure we do. But we work back from that main objective, and we choose those candidates based on that objective.
Yes, you have to choose that based on those objectives. And if we're not even lining up how to get to that objective, how are we going to choose those candidates?
Exactly. You've got to have criteria for who you choose as a candidate. Mm-hmm. And that's a big one.
Yeah.
We're out of time, dude.
Pretty good show?
I think so. Yeah. So, hey, guys,
let us know what you think.
Yeah, let us know what you think. Look, man, I'm not dumb enough to – you don't always have to agree with me. I'm not going to hate you. Mm. I'm not going to be mad at you. My only place I draw the line on is if you want to diddle kids, then I've got a big problem with that.
Before we go, we need to get to a place, and I think it may be the most important thing that we do, is we need to get into a place where people on the opposite sides of an issue can actually have a discussion.
Sure.
Whether that discussion gets heated or not is irrelevant, as long as you're not disparaging the other person. Just, you may not agree with their ideas, but we can't even have these conversations.
No, and just because we disagree doesn't necessarily mean either of us should be condescending to the other. No. Look, I call things retarded, but I don't always call people retarded unless I'm talking about myself and I do something stupid. Well, Joe Biden's retarded. But, you know, I mean...
It is a bad word.
You know, it's kind of funny, in one of the Facebook groups I'm in, it's a music-related group, somebody posted, can we just stop using the word retarded? It's 2024. And like half the comments are like, that's so retarded.
Yeah, that's the whole words is violence thing is
ridiculous. Like,
that person who says that has never been punched in the nose.
Mm-mm. Absolutely not. Well, with that being said, guys, we are out of time. And thank you for listening to the podcast. If you like what you hear, be sure to share it. If you agree with some of it, share it. If you don't agree with some of it, comment.
I want to hear.
Yeah, we want to hear what you think about this stuff. So be sure to chime in. You know, we don't get butt hurt unless you come after us and start being condescending. Then that becomes an issue.
Yeah.
Then it, you know, we'll take the gloves off at that point. So anyway, with that being said, for Dan, I am your Uncle Wes, and we will see you next time on the Driveway Liberty Podcast.